So today, I want to give a talk about the Patana condition of combination or composition, which in Pali is the condition of Anantara Paccayo. And I want to talk about it in a similar manner as I usually talk about the Patana conditions, in that I try to relate it to the four fundamentals of Abhidhamma philosophy, which are matter, mind, consciousness, and nirvana. So what I mean with these four, I already made clear in previous talks, but I think even independent of that, I will make it reasonably clear what I mean with matter, mind, consciousness, and nirvana. So let me begin with matter as the first fundamental of Abhidhamma philosophy. Now, when I talk about matter in relation to Abhidhamma philosophy, I usually talk about two things. One is the four primary elements, and one is the body. Now, what I mean with the four elements, I have talked extensively, at least in one Dhamma talk. So basically, it refers to the four elements that existed in almost every culture, which are earth, water, fire, and air, which were kind of the first classification system of the material world in ancient times. And I have made a point in previous talks already that there is a certain usefulness even today in considering about them, especially as a meditator. So, but in relation to this Patana condition of combination or composition, it may not be a very spectacular thing to consider about them, but just to make the point that these Patana conditions of Abhidhamma philosophy are universal conditions, conditions that exists throughout existence, throughout manifest existence. And I later will show that they also exist in relation to the mind and consciousness, and that they have some relation to the element of liberation or the goal of liberation. So, but now in relation to the four elements, you could maybe just make the point that if you add water and earth together, they make up a new kind of thing, which in that case would be mud. Or water and air on the larger scale, you can see is a tsunami or typhoon. So just to make the point that these four elements do mingle in nature, and that there is the possibility of considering these four elements not just separately, but also to consider of them in combination with each other. Now, this may not be very spectacular in relation to what I just said, but for example, in relation to developing a healthy lifestyle as a meditator, there can be greater usefulness to it, because if you at the very least are able to develop some sensitivity to your body and understand when your body is too hot, when your body is having too much water element or is too airy and so on. And if you understand what kind of combination of elements can would be a better balance, what other element could balance out one element, what kind of combination would add up to a balanced condition, then you could, if you're on top of that, also learn to understand, for example, natural medicine. It will be much easier than for modern medicine, but natural medicine you can more easily kind of classify that this element is containing more fire element, especially when I put it into my body, on a simple scale, ginger, for example. Ginger can balance out coldness. So ginger in combination with coldness can result in a balanced body condition, for example. And you know, the same thing applies for when paying attention when you eat. Because for a spiritual practitioner, generally you should learn to conceive of food also as a kind of medicine. So to understand the four elements in matters of combination can give you some clue as to how to balance out imbalances and how to, you know, put different elements together, that is the elements in your body with the elements in food, for example, together in order to, you know, produce some better element or kind of some stronger condition of a certain element. If you want to have greater strength, you need to perhaps have more earth element, etc. So, which is a good transition to the body, which, as I said, is the second consideration that I take in relation to the ultimate of Buddhist philosophy, the paramatta of Buddhist philosophy of matter. So the matter of the body is the second consideration usually. And there we can find, for example, our whole body is a composition of various things. So, for example, many cells in our body combine together to make up tissues. Many tissues combine together to make up organs. And many organs combine together in turn to make up the body as a whole. So our body is a composition of different things, different biological elements. And now, of course, this knowledge can be useful for meditation, for example. It can help you to pay attention to what is happening in your body. It can help you to consider how your heart, for example, works together in combination with your lungs, and how your lungs and your heart work together in combination with your stomach and your digestive apparatus. So the knowledge of this can help you to pay attention to things in a combined manner and how things combine to form a larger whole, which of course requires a greater refinement of your capacities to pay attention. So this is a proper second step after you learn to understand your reality and your experience in relation to the four elements. This would be a higher step because it will be more difficult to pay attention to different organs working together or in combination. So it shows a certain hierarchy of training. Then a principally higher condition to contemplate will be the condition of the mind. And there we also can find this condition of composition and combination. So in the first place, there are simple mind states that we can pay attention to, such as greed, anger, hatred, delusion, wandering thoughts, and so on. And it is a very good thing for a meditator if we are able to pay attention to our mind and if we are able to identify different mind states. So whenever we are aware of now I'm angry, now I'm greedy, then there's a distance. So you can let go of that mind state. But if you meditate for longer periods of time, or even for a person who does not meditate much, but who has some interest in studying the mind, at some point it will not be enough. At some point you want something more complex. And then you can try to figure out more complex mind states and what they are composed of. Or you can figure out how two simple mind states add together to a more complex condition. For example, anger and joy, if you combine them together, that might end up in a condition like cruelty. Or two simple mind states, as greed and anger, might combine to become something like jealousy. Or on the positive end, for example, effort and joy might lead to something like heroism or bravery. Or wisdom and effort might lead to justice. Or again, on the negative side, fear and applied and sustained thought may lead to something like dogmatism. Or joy and applied and sustained thought may lead to something like inspiration. So as you can see, there is this condition of combination within the mind too. And this of course also can help you with your meditation. Because if you have some knowledge and some understanding about the mind, then it will be much easier to focus on the mind and to notice the mind and to remain involved with the mind and remain focused on the mind and remain thinking about the mind while you're paying attention to it. So if you learn different mind states and then you learn how they act in combination with each other, you know, you have a whole world to pay attention to, which you will not have if you have no understanding of the mind whatsoever, no basic theoretical knowledge whatsoever. So, but then talking about attention and paying attention already, maybe we can move on to the next condition, which is consciousness. Or we might first talk about the faculties of consciousness, where you might find that, for example, a thought is something that is usually made up of different sense impressions and different words or labels that act as the symbol for sense impressions, and not just as a symbol for singular sense impressions, but they act as a symbol for many sense impressions combined. Now, all trees are kind of combined into that word of tree, even though all trees are kind of different. So, but the word tree kind of represents a combination of all trees. And having words and having sense impressions is what makes up a thought. That is the raw material based on which a thought can happen. And many thoughts are the raw material, if they combine, are the material that can make up an idea. And many ideas combined may lead to knowledge. They may lead to a faculty of knowledge or a body of knowledge, to emphasize the idea of compositeness. Many ideas combine together to form one body of knowledge, which perhaps more in the abstract is the outer end of this consideration will be something like omniscience, which will be all knowledge combined, which whether it can actually exist, especially in the human world, with the limitations that any kind of brain possesses, may be questioned, but it definitely exists as a hypothesis. But then these are more kind of the faculties of consciousness than consciousness itself. Now, but consciousness is a very tricky thing to consider. It's in fact the most difficult of these things that we have just considered. So, but the first important thing to understand in relation to consciousness is that consciousness is not just awareness. Consciousness is not just some kind of mirror that merely reflects the outside world. No, that's not what consciousness is. The consciousness is always a very individual thing. Each person's consciousness is different. Each person's consciousness perceives a different world, either slightly different or enormously different, but different. And one good way of thinking about that is to think of consciousness not so much as some kind of glass or some kind of mirror which merely reflects kind of the outside world or the present moment, but rather as something more akin to a kaleidoscope, with some kind of ever-shifting patterns whenever you turn the kaleidoscope. Because thinking about it in this manner, you also more easily get the point that consciousness is a composite thing, and that a normal human consciousness is also a rather fractured kind of thing, which in turn actually will also be the exact reason why people want to develop concentration. And now in this instance with concentration, I don't mean just concentration on one particular object. Now in this case, with concentration, I mean an unfractured consciousness with its focal point inside, which in turn leads us to a consideration of the last of the four paramita, as the last of the four ultimates of Buddhist philosophy, which is Nirvana, or the path of liberation. Now, when we try to consider these two conditions together, now on the one hand side, the condition of combination or composition, and on the other hand side, the path of liberation, maybe the first thing is to consider that a central aspect of the path of liberation is that we are trying to remove or overcome or fractures of consciousness, which means not that we are aiming for some kind of utterly blank kind of consciousness without any individual characteristics or without any diversity in it. No, that's not what I mean. What I mean is more something like that consciousness rather becomes something similar to a flower, wherein all the petals are kind of blooming forth from the center. And now what do we mean with the center? The center of your consciousness is the highest karma you ever have performed. Now, your highest hope, it's that part of you which you desperately wish that it should continue into the future. Now, it is that part of you that you actually have cultivated and that you have worked on for many, many lifetimes already. And that is the center that you're holding onto when you're at least to some degree overcome by anger or by greed. Now that is what keeps you from not going crazy because of it. So in order to overcome this fracturedness, you have to basically work on two things. Now on the one hand side, you always have to see to it that you never become too fractured to lose entirely contact with your center. And you always have to pull back whatever breaks off back into the center. Now, that is one very central aspect of the path of liberation. While another aspect is actually you also have to work on the center. You have to work on improving the center. Because dependent on the level of development of your center will be your susceptibility to getting fractured. Or your lack of being susceptible to getting fractured. Because usually you get fractured in relation to some outside happening. And in order to properly understand that, we have to understand a little bit something about karma. Now, from a Buddhist perspective or from a human perspective, no, not from a divine perspective, we can say, it is considered quite a good karma that you have been born a human being. It is because you have done some amount of good deeds in the past that you are now a human being. And if you are doing reasonably well in human life and you're not very lacking behind, you're not having many disabilities, and you're not continuously struggling, that will usually mean that you have really done a fair amount of good karma in the past. So in human life, your capacity to not become fractured when facing the world depends on how much human karma you have accumulated. That depends on your capacity to respond to the human world. And now that is something that you have to continuously work on as you grow up. Because now generally speaking, now responding to the world around you as a child is principally easier than as an adult. Now becoming an adult, there will be more and more challenges coming onto you. Now, as a child, you're generally protected by your parents and you're explained things many times. You can do many mistakes and not much consequences will arise usually from that. But as you grow older, now, there are greater challenges usually occurring in your life. And now, in order to face these challenges without becoming fractured, now, you have to develop your center. You have to develop who you are, which is constructive work. So, but then on the path of holiness or the path of liberation, you have to not only make yourself in relation to the world, although it will be unavoidable, for as long as you're still living in the world, you still have to do that also. But the main emphasis should shift more and more on the path of liberation towards constructing yourself in relation to a holy ideal or in relation to a holy person. And for that, you really need to work with the conditions that I've talked about earlier already. So meaning you have to understand, at least to some degree, how to properly combine or balance the elements. You have to understand, at least to some degree, what your body is made up of and how it works. You have to put together your mind rightly and your thoughts rightly in order to have right ideas. And then once you have right ideas, your own ideas based on your own thinking, then you have to put these ideas together in order to arrive at real knowledge, your own direct realization of what existence is about, what is liberation for you, what would be your liberation. And once you have acquired that knowledge, the next step will be mastery. So mastery means that you have to learn to consistently act upon your knowledge, which means you have to have a center which either is able to all the time encompass whatever occurs, whatever happens externally or internally, or your center will perpetually have to restructure itself or reorganize itself in the relation to whatever happens externally or internally. Until in the end, all you will be, ideally, internally and externally, meaning in the center and in the circumference, should be all the time in alignment with the highest principles in existence. Meaning there will be no more I eat, I sleep, I go to the toilet, she did, or if he wouldn't have done, then So there will be no more dramas. You will be continuously filled only with Dhamma, filled only with the highest principles of existence. And that may be a good ending for this talk. So now, suspecting that most of us still will have some work to do in order to get there, I leave your ears free again, hopefully for something better or good. And that's it. Thank you for listening.